Is Ireland about to get a bailout or not?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Ireland said this morning it is not in secret talks for a bailout from the European Union. Reports over the weekend said the country might need $110 billion from Germany and other European countries to stave off economic collapse. The Irish government is dealing with the same kinds of debt problems that Greece did earlier this year. And there are concerns that if Ireland doesn't pay back its loans, the effects could ripple across the global economy. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is live with us from London with more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, so some mixed signals here, but we do know that Ireland is in economic trouble. Why are they being so adamant that they don't need a bailout?
Well, they say the government actually doesn't need to borrow any more until well into next year, so it doesn't need the money. And there's a point of pride here. The Irish are proud that they bit the bullet, they cut their public spending, and unlike the Greeks, they didn't go to Brussels begging for help. There's a great quote here from the Trade and Business Minister. He says, "Ireland must show it can stand alone." He says, "We struggled long and hard for our independence. We're not going to surrender that independence."
Independence, Stephen, it sounds a little dramatic. Would they really be giving up their independence if they take a bailout?
Well, that's their fear. There were reports over the weekend that the French and the Germans want a quid pro quo in exchange for any bailout. They want the Irish to raise their corporation tax level from the current low level of 12.5%.
Why are corporate taxes coming into the equation here?
Well, this has been a long bone of contention. I mean, the French and the Germans believe it's unfair that Ireland with low tax rates can attract foreign corporations. French and German business taxes are much higher. But the Irish say they're determined to hang on to this. This is how they attracted major American corporations like Intel, Pfizer and Dell to set up in Ireland. It's been one of the main pillars of Irish prosperity.
OK, we'll be watching. Thanks, Stephen.
OK, Jeremy.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Well, Congress returns to work in Washington today, and the fate of the Bush tax cuts that expire at the end of December are likely to be high on the agenda. But there's another tax break that also runs out soon. It was included in the 2009 stimulus package and was meant to get consumers spending again. Did it work? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports from Washington.
The White House thought people would spend the extra money if they didn't know about it. 95% of us just had less tax taken out of our paychecks, about $65 a month for families. But University of Michigan economist Joel Slemrod says most of us saved the money or paid down debt. He asked about 1,000 taxpayers what they do with the stealth cash. Only 13% said they would spend it. Slemrod says most people are like him, on a budget, and the recession hasn't helped encourage spending. Only a separate tax rebate check would make him a big spender.
If I got a check in the mail, it might convince me to splurge on a nice dinner with my wife.
But Chuck Marr at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says Slemrod is only looking at upper-income taxpayers.
Middle-class, working-class people that live paycheck to paycheck, if their paychecks are larger, they're going to spend more.
Marr says if Congress lets the stealth tax cut expire, those workers' paychecks will shrink and they'll spend less. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed at this hour. Stocks are down slightly across Europe. In Asia, it was a mixed bag. Tokyo's stocks rose after Japan said its economy grew by a surprising 3.9% last quarter. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 90 points to close at 11,192.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. By Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD, as well as an online savings account and money market account. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
GM goes public on Thursday, and a Chinese automaker is expected to be one of the big buyers of GM shares. That same story is playing out in the world of entrepreneurship, with the U.S. facing ever greater competition from abroad, and especially from Asia. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
An analysis by Bloomberg found that Asian companies will garner 2/3 of the capital from initial public offerings this year. U.S. companies will get just about 10%. A decade ago, U.S. IPOs were way out in front, and companies in Asia weren't ready to go public.
5 or 6 years ago, I was not impressed with what I saw.
That's Berkeley researcher Vivek Wadhwa, and I reached him in Bangalore, India. He'd just been teaching entrepreneurs in Malaysia and was on his way to China.
Today, I'm absolutely, completely blown away by the energy, by the enthusiasm, and by the quality of companies that I'm seeing in both India and China. Move forward 5 years, these countries will dwarf the United States in terms of innovation and entrepreneurship.
Asian companies are already raising a lot of money to grow from investors in Asia and the U.S. Emily Mendel of the National Venture Capital Association explains where that leads.
Increasing interest in investing in China, investing in Asia, the results of that won't be seen for some time because, again, a venture capital investment is typically 5 to 10 years.
Mendel says Asian governments have changed tax laws and regulations to make investment more attractive. Vivek Wadhwa says they're also starting to crack down on graft and bureaucracy.
The Indian and Chinese governments, even though they're corrupt, they know that their future lies in allowing this entrepreneurship and allowing the innovation to happen.
That same energy is spilling over into the U.S., says Robert Lighton of the Kauffman Foundation.
Roughly 1/4 of our successful high-tech companies have been founded or co-founded by immigrants over the last decade.
Lighton wants the U.S. to grab even more of that startup spirit.
And so if I could wave a magic wand, all those foreign immigrants that are now at American universities, I would give them a green card as soon as they graduate and let them stay here, because we know disproportionately they will found new firms and create more jobs.
Lighton supports a new entrepreneur's visa for immigrants who start a business and employ someone other than a family member. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And you can check out our Midday Update podcast. It's all the stories from Marketplace Morning Report. It's at marketplace.org or on iTunes. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Cotton futures are hitting record highs this year. Part of the reason for that demand is a group of U.S. cotton growers and importers called Cotton Incorporated.
There were people, I can recall, people back in the early 70s were very, very skeptical of paying this organization to do something.
I'm Bob Moon, making us think twice about cotton, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.